This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Community Matters here on 103.7 WEEI. I'm your host, Scott Credici. Glad you could join us. Community Matters is the show that comes your way each and every Saturday morning and keeps you up to date and in touch with many of the great things that happen in and around our communities here in the state of Rhode Island, in eastern Connecticut, and in southeastern Massachusetts. And this morning, it gives us great pleasure to welcome back to our program the co-founders of Stages of Freedom. We have Executive Director Ray Rickman with us. Ray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, and thank you for the invitation.
Well, Ray, thank you for joining us. And we also have with us your program director, Rob Dimmick. Rob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Thank you for including us.
Rob, the pleasure is mine, as always, and thank you so much for joining us. We have a lot to talk about over the next few minutes, and I want to start with this. December is National Time Month. Why don't you explain to our listeners, one of you, what that's all about?
Who knew that December was National Time Month? it's surprising what you can find if you dig. And this month, I thought it would be wonderful to show how particularly prominent historic African-American men wore their ties and how those ties were sort of emblematic of their excellence and their accomplishments. And so we're looking at people this month, such as the great bass baritone Paul Robeson, W.E. Du Bois, really the founder of Black sociology in this country, and elevating their style, shall we say.
Yep. So I also understand Slater Mill is promoting Laboring for Freedom. It's an exhibit that runs, I believe, through the 14th of December, highlighting African-Americans in the Blackstone River Valley. Ray or Rob, I don't know who wants to handle this one. Can you tell us a little bit about this exhibit and how, if at all, it ties into Stages of Freedom?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
Yes, this is an exciting undertaking that was really provided to us by Kevin Kleiberg, the ranger at Slater Mill, which, as you know, is ground zero for the American Industrial Revolution. And there's really never been sort of a deep dive examination of African Americans in the Blackstone River Valley, which runs from Providence to Worcester, Massachusetts. And so this really was a great opportunity for us at Stages of Freedom to help illuminate the stories of how African Americans have contributed to the labor economy. So this is pretty much post-slavery, right up to the turn of the century. And looking at the extraordinary stories that very few people know, that African Americans were really involved in making Slater Mill happen, cutting the roads that led to Slater Mill, inventing a lot of the techniques that were used in the machinery, and so forth, plastering the walls. But once Slater Mill was a fait accompli, never allowed to work within it as a laborer.
So right. It's exciting because people have no views or narrow views about where Black people lived and worked. And also, much of Rhode Island's economy, as you know, is related to slavery. And even after slavery, the Browns and Slater and others, many others, they were involved with Negro Claw. And they were clothing the enslaved people in the South. And they really did it. It's unclear but whether they had 50% or 60, 70% of all the business. Seth Rockman has a new book. It's fabulous. I was standing in the kitchen 5 minutes ago reading, trying to hurry up and read it because we're going to see him tomorrow. And my favorite thing or least favorite thing I've come across is they made shoes, and almost all the shoes were the same size. And they made them big enough for the men. And these poor women had to wear these big, awful shoes for 7 or 8 years that they would last. And of course, they destroyed your feet.
Yep.
And I tell your listeners, just put on a pair of shoes, one size too small or one size too big, and see what that does to you if you have to wear them for a day, less known for 10 years. It's just evilness.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, on another topic, Ray, and back in March, a bronze plaque was stolen from the gravestone of Edward Mitchell Bannister, 19th century African-American artist and founder of the Providence Art Club. And I know Stages of Freedom, you are offering a reward. I never saw, was there a resolution? Was that ever found, that bronze plaque, or where do we stand with that?
No, it was not found. And it's so big and so heavy and worth so much. You know, it's illegal now, really illegal to do this. And all the dealers, scrap dealers, told me that someone cut it up and floated it off to the Caribbean to sell it. You don't do that anymore, especially in New York or New England. And so it is, we're positive it's gone. The mayor of Providence, Mayor Smiley, got involved, assigned two police inspectors, high-ranking, middle-level ranking, to look for it. And they did, electronically and verbally and calling dealers. And we did a little, not much, because I wanted to learn from it. But it was really good on the mayor's part, but it is gone.
Is there any plans on having that plaque replaced?
The answer is yes. We have, as you, if we went through all our projects, see, that's an unexpected project, people stealing in a graveyard from Edward Bannister. You can't believe that someone would sink so low. And they knew its importance, by the way. So, you know, we've got to go, all of a sudden, $10,000, $12,000 minimum dollars has got to show up. Every time we're on one of these shows, we hint, hint, hint. we've got about five of these projects that all need money. And we just think, you know, folks ought to show up. You know, there are a lot of wealthy people in these communities, in our communities. And it would be nice if it was easy for us to raise money and get this done.
So that
another project that we're undertaking is on the reverse side of that stone, which is an enormous, probably 7-foot stone. Yeah. We are working on funding and creating a plaque that will honor Christiana Carto Bannister. Without Christiana Bannister, we won't say that Edward Bannister would not have existed, but she made it possible for him to have a leisurely life, to paint. She bought him a yacht because she was such a successful, extraordinary businesswoman. She essentially financed his career. And we have, as of last month, placed a plaque recognizing her contributions to the business world in downtown Providence, right across from our museum at 10 Westminster Street. It's a beautiful plaque recognizing Christiana Carto's contributions in many ways to our community. And that is directly across the river from the statue of Edward Bannister.
Terrific.
You know, so if the statue had eyes, he could see her.
Ray, you talked about all these projects that you have ongoing, and it leads me to my next question. You recently concluded Giving Tuesday. Tell us how that went for Stages of Freedom, and more importantly, how people can continue to donate and support Stages of Freedom.
Now, I'm supposed to be upbeat because that's my nature, and my brother Wade, who's super upbeat, well, here I wasn't. We did rather average this year. I have a theory. In fact, I read something in the Times that people are leaning to soup kitchens and homeless shelters and the like, and not to cultural things. Now, our swimming program, which should be in that arena, you know, saving kids' lives, really, is not something people think about. You know, soup kitchens and homeless shelters have come to the fore in our minds. And the thought is that they've done better this year and everyone else has done worse, or not as well. That'd be a better way of putting it. And so anyone who wants to donate, we have 8-9 cultural programs that we need money for. We're going to put up street signs, elegant street signs for Nancy Elizabeth Prophet, sculptress who's the first Black graduate of RISD, and we hope to do that next spring. So we've got all these projects, and if people want to donate $25 or $25,000, if they donate $25,000, take care of three of the projects. And we would love that. And you have a lot of listeners who have it.
And Giving Tuesday is really a gateway to, you know, the end of year giving. So we welcome contributions. One can go to stagesoffreedom.org, and at the upper right, click the donate button and make any kind of contribution they are capable of making.
And we'll send them a letter for their taxes.
And I also understand you're raffling off a couple of tickets to see Hamilton at PPAC.
We are.
How can people enter that raffle? I saw Hamilton myself at PPAC a couple of years ago. It was fabulous.
Again, stagesoffreedom.org on the front page. There is a link. If one has trouble with that, they can just email us at stagesoffreedom@aol.com, and we'll send them a direct link to essentially what they're doing is making a relatively small donation for two free tickets to see Hamilton, $300 worth of tickets.
You know that Hamilton may be the best or second best or third best play around. And so it's kind of double goodness, you know, for them to do this.
Absolutely. We're talking to Ray Rickman and Rob Dimmock from Stages of Freedom here on Community Matters on 103.7 WEEI. Gentlemen, my condolences as you just recently lost a valued member of our community. Lady Estelle Barada fought the good fight for an amazing 6 years against pancreatic cancer. Tell us about Estelle and her legacy.
Thank you so much for bringing her to the light. Estelle was a remarkable woman in so many respects, but first and foremost was her ability to use history and her ability as an extraordinary actress to bring African-American history to life. And she did that with us for, oh my goodness, almost 20 years, even before Stages of Freedom came into existence. We were working with Estelle. Her grace, her talent, her passion for history was bar none. And she had built this extraordinary wardrobe of Victorian clothing that allowed her at any given moment to portray the likes of Christiana Cartow Bannister, Cicerita Jones, the great opera singer from Providence, Duchess Quamino, who actually is late 18th century African-American baker in Newport. She also portrayed in a silent way one of the Chase sisters who are buried at the Episcopal Cathedral. And they were three sisters who were enslaved by the Chase family on Benefit Street. And so we have lost a giant in the world of Black reenactment. She was the only African-American female reenactor in the state. She even portrayed men, believe it or not. That's how deep and extraordinary her talent was.
A great human being. You look up and they're gone. It is very sad.
Yeah, my condolences to you and certainly to Estelle's family and friends. That was quite a loss. Ray, you mentioned earlier, and I think it bears pointing out once again, because we have changing audiences. You've been on the show multiple times, but we haven't really talked about the swimming program, which is certainly one of the core programs of Stages of Freedom. Tell our listeners more about that.
So the best example, a shorthand to give, is Black children drown 5.5 times more often than white children. And the reason for that is people have beliefs, all kinds of people. I have men, white men, walk in and tell me how they were thrown into a lake and learn how to swim in 1 minute. It's a lie, you know. And if someone did throw them in, she was an Olympic swimmer. And the mother was there who can swim. And they don't remember all that. And it didn't happen. But even if it did. And in the Black community, the mother, the father, the aunt, the uncle, no one swims. Swimming is a very middle upper class thing, and Black folks have borrowed from it until, you know, the last 20, 30 years. And it's not in the culture. It isn't in the community. Now, this is true to a lesser extent of Latino kids as well. Every once in a while, we have a couple of white kids from West Warwick or someplace, because this can often be class, and it's almost always race. So our goal is 500 children every year, 5 to 19 years old. We raise the money to do that. It's a very good time, you know, as little as $110 will pay for a kid to learn to swim. One out of 100 needs to go twice because they don't get it. But the amazing thing, which I never knew, because I had a hard time learning to swim in the 11th grade. Swimming's easy. You just have to go. We work with 9Ys, and they've never lost a child, and they're fabulous at it. You just have to get the kid there. Recruitment's a process.
Sure.
So we've been doing it 9.5 years. We have a very small endowment that we're trying to build on. I tell people one day I will not be here. We won't be here. Whoever will all not be here. I'll be in Ann Arbor if you were thinking where I was going to be. You've got to build this endowment. So that's one of our projects for this year. And people, again, can donate $100 for the endowment or $100 for a swim lesson. I think people like donating for swim lesson better than endowment. I don't know why, because endowment will be working 100 years when we're not here. But I thank you for giving us a chance. And again, people just go to stagesoffreedom.org and donate. And they can also call every once in a while. Someone throws a cocktail party for us, and just call us at 421-0606. And they can have a cocktail party for 10 people or 110. We don't care. And we'll show up, and I'll wear my good jacket. And this is a good time of year, I think, to, you know, I just made all my donations yesterday. And I cannot even begin to tell you how they warm the heart. I put my 10 checks on the table, and I wrote them out. And then they start getting smaller as I... You know, luckily I gave to the 3 or 4 groups I care about the most first. But everybody has that ability. Seriously. Yeah,
absolutely. Rob, in closing, what haven't we touched upon this morning that we should before we wrap things up?
Two things I want to mention. If someone wants to subscribe to our daily Black History email us at stagesoffreedom@aol.com. And lastly,
wait, but tell them it's 4 years old plus, and I see it every morning, and I am amazed. Seriously, Malcolm X shows up with his bow tie, and you get a chance to learn how stylish he was, but also it's a history on Malcolm X, which is a history on America. So this 7:45 ordeal every morning is just fabulous, fabulous.
Great.
And as I say, lastly, in January, we begin essentially a year-long examination of Rudolf Fischer, graduate of Classical High School in Providence, a graduate of Brown University with both a bachelor's and a master's. We believe he's the first student, black or white, to have a double major. And he goes on to become a doctor. And while a doctor in the period of the Harlem Renaissance, invents the black mystery novel. And so his story has never been told here in America. And we are about to do that. And we start with an exhibit of his writings, his books, and ephemera, and that will be at the Providence Athenaeum running from January 7th through the 27th during their regular hours of operation.
And we're just overly excited to bring him to light, promote him, and hopefully to encourage people to begin to read his new novels. This is so good of you to let us share what we're doing. It's just maybe a third of our projects, but they're all the same. Enrich people's education of African-American life and help black children and others learn to swim.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both for all that you do for Stages of Freedom and, you know, the swim program for young underprivileged kids or young black kids who might not otherwise get exposed to a great life skill like that. And thank you for joining us on the show once again. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah. Happy holiday.
Same to you. If you would like to donate to Stages of Freedom or learn more about their organization, the best thing to do, go to the website, stagesoffreedom.org. My thanks to Ray Rickman and Rob Dimmock for joining us this morning. My thanks to producer Laura Minicucci. Most of all, thanks to you for tuning in. My name is Scott Credici. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Community Matters with your host, Scott Credici. If your group or organization would like to be part of the show, email us at communitymatters@weei.com.